Welcome to the Relationship Secrets for Parents podcast, how to create a happy relationship and a peaceful family. So the question is, how can we be great parents while having a great relationship at the same time? That is the question, and this podcast will have the answers. Thank you so much for being here. And just so everyone knows, you are everyone's favorite sex and relationship therapist. So thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
Awesome. Well, so Fiona, you are, as mentioned in the tagline, in your tagline, a sex and relationship therapist. If you don't mind, can you share a little bit about, you know, what brought you to where you're at now?
Totally. So I have been a therapist since 2015, and I'm a licensed marriage and family therapist in Colorado. And I have always really just found relationships, especially couple relationships, really just fascinating. And so I've always said that we can't talk about being in a relationship, we can't talk about communication, all of those core aspects of a relationship without talking about sex. And so in the last, I would say probably 3 years, I have really decided to shift my focus in my practice from not just doing regular couples work, but also expanding into sex therapy. And so I have really found a love of helping people just have better sexual relationships, because we, you know, I live by this philosophy that we're human first, and intimacy and sex is just part of our human experience. And so being able to really help people explore that has been just really rewarding.
Awesome. And that's great. Well, you know, my audience here is aimed towards parents, parents in a relationship. And this is going to be a little bit of a silly question, but also important. So now that we have kids, what's the point of having sex?
There are no silly questions, right? I think when we think of, what the purpose of sex is, right? Like, that's kind of the, I don't want to say the old school idea, but there is this thought of, having sex for procreation. And so I totally encounter that so much, but with my clients. But I think the other aspect is that sex, you know, has so many benefits to us, like being able to have an orgasm can reduce our stress, can make us feel, just feel more at ease. We also know it's a connecting activity that we do with our partners. And so I think even after we have kids, like, our relationship isn't dead. We still want to be able to, like, connect with our partner. And sex is definitely one of those activities that can be really connecting for two people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And, you know, if you were to sum it up, and I got this from, are you familiar with the book Baby Bomb? I don't know if you've read it.
Yes, I have. Yep.
Okay. But in the beginning, you know, the foreword's by Terry Real, and he writes something that he was quoting Barry McCarthy. Mm-hmm. And it says, the research is clear. Sexual satisfaction plummets with the birth of the first kid and goes back up after the last one leaves for college. I know this is kind of a huge question, but why is that? You know, why for some couples it's difficult to maintain sexual intimacy while you?
Yeah, one of the reasons I think that is that, and I love in Baby Bomb how they talk about being touched out. So when we have, you know, especially in heterosexual cisgender relationships, like we still, even in 2022, have very, very scripted gender roles. And so I think there is this idea that, the mom or the female in the relationship is going to be that person that is going to do most of the childcare or, takes on that role because of what we're taught culturally. And so, So yeah, sometimes, and a lot of times it's really just kind of that person being a stay-at-home parent. And I think also when we're thinking about after the first kiddo is born, right? There's so many needs, you know, there's always touching and the release of oxytocin, you know, and we also have to think about breastfeeding and how that impacts being touched out. But I think, you know, that is very true that after the first kiddo, it really does plummet because you're in a transitional phase in your relationship. And so, then once the kids leave, you don't have some of those same stressors. I almost think of it, I always explain it like triangulation in family systems where, you know, kids kind of take off the stress goes to within the relationship kind of goes to where the kids are at, you know, because you're hyper focused on them. And then you have to, after the kids leave for college, you're empty nesters and you don't, you know, you have to relearn your partner again. And it almost feels, sometimes it feels really exciting. Sometimes it's really difficult because you've spent 18, you know, however, you know, we'll just say you have one kid, 18 years really focused on these kids who have taken the stress off of the relationship.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to share a little, you know, personal antidote, if you don't mind. You know, you talk about changing roles. And the birth of our first daughter, Josie, 6 months into it, and we'll be a little personal information here. You know, we were stressed, obviously. And I got into this idea of my wife as mom. And I remember the beginning, you know, with that role, you know, sex wasn't even on the radar, right? It's like it's a changing role. She is now mom, right? So I don't know where I was going with that, but I just wanted to highlight, you know, that's a common, you know, factor as well, the changing role.
Yeah. Definitely. And yeah, that's all part of kind of that transition phase as well. I also tell parents so many times, or they have, you know, small children or even like grade school children, that a lot of times we're just in survival mode, I think, as couples too, in that phase. One of the chores that is probably, and this is my own personal experience that I just do, like it drives me crazy, is the rush to get out of the house, to go to school, to go to daycare, to do all of those things. Like, yeah, it is so dysregulating to me sometimes when I just am, I'm like, I'm exhausted and it's only 9:15 in the morning. So when we think of just what our capacity is, I think sometimes, yeah, we're at our level of capacity by 9:15, especially when we have our small kids. But so that's why I think we always have to really figure out some good interventions around just kind of also like expanding on that piece of burnout that we have from being parents. I love TikTok. And so that's been one of my platforms that I've used to kind of make some videos. And I also just love looking at other creators and their videos as well. And one of there was a therapist on there who said, you can love your kids, but you can hate parenting. And that, I think it's so true because we don't ever get that permission to dislike parenting.
That is a really good point. And going on that, I would add, it's okay to dislike it at times, right?
Sure.
We're human. It's ours.
Totally.
So the next question I have for you, Fiona, and you may get this a lot, and it may, I would assume, be sort of be annoying, but what is a normal amount of sex?
Yeah, I definitely get that question quite a bit. And research really tells us, I think one of the most recent studies, and I don't know who did this study, but I remember reading it. It said that in the study that they did, the average amount of times couples have sex per year is 54 times a year. And so if we're thinking of just, I mean, we have 52 weeks, so essentially it's about weekly. And so, but I think it also depends on people and what those folks want in their relationship. What is enough? And so that's something that I really work with to help people define like what would be sufficient sex in your relationship? Maybe it looks like once a week, twice a week, once a month. It's really being able to have control over that and really just some honest dialogue with between partners around what that looks like.
Yeah. But I assume you don't recommend couples comparing themselves to the norm and then feeling bad that they're not living up to that.
Yeah, definitely. And I would say that most folks I work with, like one time a week is really, you know, like seems sufficient. And that's kind of where we always, you know, that might be our baseline for where we're working, what we want to work towards or, but yeah, I think that definitely can be discouraging when we're talking about the research and what that looks like. But I always let them know, like, you know, sex, when we're thinking of just intimacy and sex in general, like we tend to think that it has to be penetration. I always use this word, or I have this little saying, I'm like, sex doesn't have to be P and V. And for, you know, today I'm just talking about just heterosexual cisgender couples, but like, yeah, it doesn't have to be P and V. Sex really is what we define it to be, and you know, and just like intimacy in general. And so being able to define that, I think sometimes can really give permission to folks to feel more in control of the things that they want when it comes to intimacy in their relationship.
Yeah, and so that's an interesting point. And I remember hearing that on one of your TikTok videos, exactly what you said. So are you saying that, you know, say that one couple, you know, they don't really have P and V once mm-hmm. a week, but they're really good at physical intimacy, you know, maybe like snuggling in the morning. So what you're saying is that for them to negotiate, you know, what is important to them, you know, that could be defined as sex. Yeah, we have sex once a week, but it's more of we just snuggle for 10 minutes in the morning. Is that what you're saying?
100%. Yeah. Yes, I am totally saying that because we get to define it. You know, and we also have to think about folks who have disabilities or don't, you know, they have other sexual dysfunctions, that sex is not going to look like the norm in what we, you know, what media sells us or what we see in TV. It could be something totally different.
Yeah, for sure. And speaking of TikTok, you also have a video about a yes, no, maybe list. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was really intriguing. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. So a yes, no, maybe list. I adapted this from other sex therapists in the field. And I believe her name is Dr. Jessica. She's a sexologist and she has it on her website where you can actually go and download these materials. And a yes, no, maybe list is essentially a list of different sexual things that you can do, experiences or activities, different types of fetishes. And so you're working on this worksheet essentially with your partner and you're talking about the things that, yes, this is something I would be interested in doing or discussing. No, this is something that I just like, this is a hard no, I'm not interested in that. And then a maybe is something I'd be interested in exploring or talking more about, learning more about. So I think it's really, really useful in having couples either do it together. So, you know, and over the years I've changed how I do this with couples, but sometimes I have them do it separate and then compare their notes so they can see, you know, what is it that my partner's interested in? And it really just kind of opens that conversation around, hey, I didn't even know like that was something that interested you, or that was something that you might be into. And so, yeah. And then sometimes I have them do it together and they tend to feel a little, you know, they blush a little bit, I guess, in that, yeah, some of the things, you know, they're on that list are, you know, a little more on the extreme side of sexual fetishes. And so, yeah, it really forces some really honest dialogue.
And I would assume too, you know, no matter what comes up, you know, to have empathy, you know, this totally. Is your partner's, you know, I guess wants, and mm-hmm. not to be judgmental and shaming of them. I know that's kind for of sure. obvious thing to say, but
yeah. For sure. Yeah. And also, Yeah, to talk about, you know, just that some of the thing we tend to really gender some sexual activities. And so being able to know that like your sexual orientation is very different than your erotic orientation. I think when I'm working with folks around parenting and just sex in general, or just being parents, to also understand that the way that they identify sexually, like their orientation, they may, you know, present as a heterosexual cisgender person, but be into things that may not align with that. And so I think, you know, that's the beauty of sex therapy, is that there is so much, it's really educational at the end of the day, because in our country, we have terrible sex education.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. And so being a relationship coach, you know, myself, I have found that a good first step to having sex or having satisfying sex is to talk about it. Did I get that right, Fiona?
Yes. Yep. To talk about it, lay those cards out.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the yes, no, maybe list. It's mm-hmm. like the whole, it seems that the main benefit of it, you're just open exploration. You know, is that we can talk about this, you know, let's get this out in the open. And I think that's a very, you know, good, I don't want to say first step, but a very good step in the right direction to a lot of problems, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. You know, communication, but let's talk about this. But this leads me to the next question. And I think you've kind of answered it. You know, you mentioned cultural implications, but why for some of us is sex, you know, so difficult to talk about?
So I think there's a variety of reasons, but I think, you know, one of probably the main one that I see specifically in, you know, very gender roled relationships is the role of religious or cultural beliefs around sex. One of the questions I will always ask folks, as I do a sex history with them during our intake process, is, how did you learn about sex? Did your parents talk about it? And one of the things that I find a lot kind of ingrained in that is the presence of purity culture and growing up really, you know, maybe in a religious household where, abstinence was taught, or you wait until marriage. And so that really distorts our beliefs around pleasure and sex, and that it can be something that you don't do with the partner you're married with, and that there is, you know, the room to explore different things that you like and don't like.
Yeah, for sure. No, that makes complete sense. And, you know, there's another quote from your TikTok. I recommend everyone check out Fiona's TikTok. And we'll definitely put a link there. But you have a video where you say, okay, I'm going to try to get the quote. Okay, next time you want to get busy with your partner, remember to preheat the oven before you stick in the turkey. And hey, great analogy, right? I mean, for me, as a side note, it would be hard to say that and not maybe have a smile. I mean, maybe it's a cultural thing. I don't know. But that is really important, you know, and I think, you know, taking up the heterosexual relationship, you know, that you mentioned, kind of traditional. And so thus a male and his turkey, what would be, you don't know, if you have any like tips, or is it kind of more of a frame of mind to know that, hey, you gotta preheat the oven a little bit, you know, going on the John Gottman, he said, you know, men are like microwaves. You know, female is like ovens, you know, to kind of sexually in the mood, so to speak. I don't know if you have any tips or anything like that, or.
Yeah. So we can thank the movie American Pie for that quote. That's one of my just favorite movies. I remember, watching it pretty young in my life, where I was like, wow, like I probably shouldn't be watching this. But now I've watched it and I think, wow, there's so much like good sex information in there. So when I think of that quote, I think, you know, we always have this very, I guess, culturally driven word of foreplay, that we should have foreplay in our relationship. And I actually don't, I don't adhere to that word, because I think any, like, foreplay doesn't have to just be sexual. It can, foreplay could be like, you know, when we're thinking of the five love languages, what is your partner's love language? That's kind of that preheating. How are you building warmth with your partner? So they at least like you, and there's some attraction, there's some desire to want to, you know, engage in some type of sexual act with you.
Yeah. That was obvious, but I just want to highlight. So they at least like you, right?
Exactly. So they're... I know that's always one question that I ask couples. I'm like, because I think when we, you know, as relationship coaches or therapists, like, we see people not always at the best points in their relationship. Yeah. And that's always one of the questions I ask folks. I'm like, what do you like about each other? Because generally people get to this point where they're like, I don't even know this person I'm living with. And so I always, yeah, say we have to at least like the person that we're with.
Yeah, this seems to be a good start.
Definitely.
You know, and this kind of, you know, kind of, you know, dovetail on what you said, you know, I found, you know, on kind of a deeper meaning of sex is mm-hmm. that usually, and maybe this is the people that I attract, but the idea of sex to men, it's that, okay, we're good. You know, that means emotional connection. But generally, you know, people, at least people in my practice, the female is like, well, I have to at least like you, right? I have to feel emotionally connected to you to have sex. And then, you know, we kind of get into this problem, and I've kind of found, you know, sometimes men in that stance, they don't really know how to skillfully go about it. Okay, well, what can I do, you know, to help my partner want to have sex with me? It's more sure. They end up in a complaint. Now, I've said a lot, but I don't know if you have any comments on what I said, or disagree, or somewhere in between.
Yeah, I definitely agree. You know, and that's one of the things, is that I think we're really always redefining these beliefs that we have around what emotional connection is. Where, you know, if we're talking about a heterosexual relationship, you know, it might be that a male, you know, doesn't know how to emotionally connect with his partner, and being able to say, like, she feels emotionally connected to you when you put your clothes in the laundry basket, and she feels like you're helping her, like that you're on a team. I always really use that Stan Tatkin term, collaboration. And, you know, like, emotional connection really starts at just kind of being a team and being, you know, connected in some sort of way. And then I think, you know, that kind of is always really helpful in just even building, like, the smallest level of emotional connection between partners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And that makes sense. And I like the idea of, you know, foreplay. Essentially what you're saying is, like, you know, foreplay starts with just being nice. Or, you know, maybe being aware of, like you said, your partner's love language. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going about it that way. So that's really cool. Well, Fiona, is there anything else, you know, on your mind that you think is important, or maybe common themes that come up in your practice, or, you know, in anything like that?
Yeah, I would say, you know, this one of the common themes is just kind of couples coming in to, you know, work with relationship coaches or therapists around, you know, feeling like a roommate. And so with their partner. And so, yeah, when we think of what a roommate might be, we don't always necessarily like our roommates. And so that's why I really kind of build on that piece of, like, what do you like about your partner? So I think that's always a great question, if someone's struggling in their relationship, to think about, why do I like this person that I chose to be in a relationship with? And that, you know, just kind of finding that warmth can really be so helpful in creating just a really secure, functioning relationship.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, Fiona, for me, you know, this has been hugely helpful. I really do appreciate your insight. And also too, you know, going back, I want to reiterate Fiona on TikTok. Real quick, you know, your TikTok handle or how can people find you?
Yeah, so you can find me on TikTok at Fiona Cochran or my website, www.fionacochran.com.
Okay, awesome. Well, Fiona, for me, this has been hugely insightful. And I just want to thank you so much for your time and for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me. This has been great.